الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. باب الرجاء. قال الله تعالى: قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. This chapter is about developing the hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you must remember this is connected to the previous two sessions that we talked about. Number one, having the balance between the hope and fear. That was the session we talked about 2 weeks back. That we have to balance the hope and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the normal habit in our life. In every field of our life, at every step of our life, we talked in detail about it, that how we have to balance the hope and the fear. Then, in the last session, we talked about how to create the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts and in our mind. And this chapter is about how to create the love of Allah and the hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our minds. As we know that both of them are important, so we have to learn how to have both of these. So in the last chapter we learned how to have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and create the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our minds. And this chapter will tell us some ahadith that will help us create the and the develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a lot of hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, that we have to keep this and that fear, how to develop the fear, both of them together, so that we will have the balance of both. In Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to the people, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. O my servants, which mean the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is announcing it on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O my servants who have done wrong to themselves, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah forgives all the sins. This ayah is really a great ayah for every person who feels that he have committed sins and he is a sinner. How many times when we talk to people and people admire us, we say, oh, I'm a sinner. Someone will say, please make dua for me, and you say, I'm a sinner. And then at the same time, many times we get that feeling in our heart, we may not say it, but we have it in our heart that I'm a sinner, I'm a bad person, and all of these people are asking me to make dua for them, they think I'm great, but I have all of these sins. Then this ayah is for all of us who feel that we are sinners. And of course, every person should feel that he is a sinner, because we all commit sins. We all do commit sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, كُلُّ ابْنُ آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ. Every human being commits sins. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The best of those who commit sins, which means the best of human beings, are those التوابون, who seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. So we all are sinners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if you have done wrong to yourself, and if you have committed sins, then don't just stay with those sins. Don't just sleep on those sins. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't think that Allah will punish me anyway. Go back to Allah. If we really know who our Creator is, how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, we will never think of going towards hellfire. And no matter how big sin we commit in our life and great sins we have committed in our life, we will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, because there is nothing too big for Him to forgive. Is there anything that He cannot forgive? There is nothing. He can forgive any and every sin. And this is what some of these ahadith will tell us now. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about the rahmah of Allah, how much He loves the human beings, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to get closer to Him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, and the hadith is hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها. Look at the rahmah of Allah. That whoever will do one good deed, he will get 10 rewards for that, as if he had have done 10 good deeds. For every good deed, we are rewarded as we are doing 10 good deeds, not only one. And this is exactly what another hadith tells us about. Each and every letter of Quran we recite, you recite Alif, Lam, Mim. You recite Alif and you have said it only once, but the angels are writing it as if you have said it 10 times. You finish one Quran, you are getting the reward of reciting 10 Qurans. Look at the great rahmah of Allah. See how much He wants to give us. Normally, you go to the store and you buy something, you pay for one, you get one, you don't get two. And sometimes when you have a sale, buy one, get one free. We all run to those sales. And we also know that before they will put the sale or put that item on sale, they will increase the price, and then they will put it buy one get one free. At least we know there is little savings, so still we'll run to that store. Might be something good. The price looks good. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us, you buy one, He gives you 10. Any better deal? Anyone else is willing to give you that deal? No one is willing to give us that deal. That you buy only one, you pay for only one, and you are getting 10. You buy one car, and that guy tells you, okay, because you are such a nice person, okay, I'll give you 10 cars for the same price. If we know that type of store, I'm sure we won't be sitting over here at this time. If I would tell you that there is a store out there, there is a dealer today, that you go and buy one car and it's going to give you 10 cars for the same price, we all will be standing at the dealer's store over there. There will be a big line over there. And if you really want to get it, this is the place. Stand on the musalla and perform 2 rak'ah, you will be getting the reward of 20 rak'ahs. For each rak'ah, you're getting the reward of 10 rak'ahs. So this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how merciful He is. This is how much He wants to give. that we are doing one is giving us 10. Once Uthman radiallahu anhu in Medina Munawwara, of course we know Uthman radiallahu anhu was a businessman. He had a real good business. And at that time there was a famine in Medina Munawwara. People didn't have things to eat. And the values of the food, the value of that food, the price was getting high. And all of a sudden, Uthman radiallahu anhu's business caravan arrived in Medina Munawwara. You know, in those days, it used to take them long time because they would send people to Syria to buy the items for them. And all of this, the whole caravan will be going on camels. They will go to Syria, buy all the stuff from there. Or on the other side, they will be going to Yemen, buy all the stuff from there. And by the time they arrive to Medina Munawwara, it takes them at least 2 to 3 months if they will hurry up. So all the other businessmen, they know that it will take at least a couple of months for their merchandise to arrive in Medina Munawwara and before they can go out and sell it. And here Uthman radiallahu anhu's merchandise arrived and his whole caravan arrived in Medina. So there was a big line of all the businessmen, all the store owners in Medina. They had a big line at Uthman radiallahu anhu's home. And all of them, they went to him and they said, okay, you sell all of these items to us, we will sell it in our stores. And we will give you double the price. We will double the price for you. If you paid $100,000, we will give you $200,000 for it. He said, no. I have someone who had given me a better offer. Okay, we'll give you $300,000 for it. There is another person. There is someone else who has given me a better offer. Okay, we'll give you $400,000. And still he says, no, there is someone who has given me a better offer. So I'm making more. I won't sell it to you people. I will tell you something about myself also at this time. You know, I keep on traveling. I went to one of the masajids. They had a program in the evening. After the program, some people approached me from the masjid. They said, we are the board of the masjid. We would like to talk to you. Okay, go ahead and talk. What do you want? Oh, we want you to stay with us here. And we'll give you $45,000. I said, no, I can make better. I said, with all of this nice speech and everything, and now you just want to give me $45,000, I won't accept it. Okay, we'll make it 55. I can't accept that either. What do you want? I don't want to stay. Why? Is there any other requirements? No, I can't stay. I went to another place. That was a bigger masjid. There were about 3,000 people just in Jummah. When I came down from the minbar after khutbah and finished the salah, and after salah, 3 people came to me. We would like to talk to you. Okay, go ahead. And I knew what they were going to talk about. They said, you know, this is such a big masjid and all the virtues of the masjid. Such a big masjid, you see the attendance in the masjid and this and this and that. And we need imam and we had some qualifications in our mind and really you are the person that we would like to be here. Okay, so what now? So, can you stay here? I told them, you know, I'm a little too expensive. So, I don't think you people can afford me. So, I said, you can think how much I'm making because there was another masjid over there who offered me 55 and I didn't accept. So I don't know if you people, what's your offer? So they thought about it. And they said, okay, we'll give you a house, we'll give you a car, and it's somewhere around 100,000, okay? So
So I said to them, no, I'm still more expensive than that. I can't even take the 100,000. So again, they were asking me, then what do you want? I can't stay here. So this happens a lot in our life, that you see a lot of dollars. And really, those people were made to think that he must be making over $150,000 or something like this. This is why he's staying over there, where he's at. Last weekend, when I went to New Jersey, and there is a school over there. We went to that school, and they said, oh, we heard you're the principal over there. Okay, we'll give you a better deal. You become the principal over here. So again, the same thing. I like to find out what they want to give, so I know what I'm rejecting. So you ask them, what do you want to give? And they give you high offers. But if money was everything, then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would love the wealthy people more than the poor people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the wealth of the whole world to make him look better. But if He did not give him all of that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for His Prophet that he won't even have a light or a candle at his home, he won't even afford to have a candle at his home, and the night that he died, he wasn't even able to have a candle at his home, and Aisha radiallahu anha had to borrow the candle from a Jew, that she can see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and treat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the last night of his life. So then of course we can understand that this is not everything that we need in our life. There must be something better in this life, that we have to get that better and reject this thing. So Usman radiallahu anhu, he said to those people, you know, $300,000. Still I have people who are giving, offering me more. And they said $400,000, $500,000. And still there are people who are giving me more. They said, Usman, who would give you more than this? All the good businessmen of Medina are here at your home at this time. And we are the people who would buy it. Who else is there in Medina to buy it? He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْطَانِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me for every penny, for everything, 10 times. So He's giving me 1,000,000. You people went up to 500,000. He's giving me 1,000,000 for it because He's giving 10 times. So can any one of you give better deal? Pay me more than that 1,000,000? I said, no, that will be too expensive. We won't be able to sell it. He said, then I will give it to Allah. And what does that mean? He went and started distributing everything for free. That this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I give every people, all the people for free. So this is for Allah, and Allah on the day of judgment will give me 10 times of what I'm giving. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. For every good deed, you get 10 times the reward. As if you have done 10 of those deeds. One Qur'an, you finish one Qur'an, you get the reward of your, as if you have done 10, you finish 10 Qur'ans. And this is why we all know that in the beginning, 50 prayers became fard on the ummah. 50 prayers became fard. Then finally they were, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on requesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they went down to 5. But the reward did not get down to 5. The reward is still of 50. Because for each salah we perform, we get the reward of doing 10 prayers. So you do 5 prayers and you're getting the reward of 50 prayers. So no one will give us a better deal. That you buy one, you get 10. It's only having the value of this reward that we get it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is exactly what these ahadith are about. They are telling us what's the value of getting this reward. Remember, if a person is going out on a journey, that person will make sure that he keeps some money with him, he keeps some clothing with him. You are going out for a month, so you will make sure that in your suitcase you have enough things that will be, that you can use them, enough for you to use them for 1 month. You will take enough clothing with you, your toothbrush, toothpaste, and whatever else you need. You take all of those things with you. A sick person will take the medicine that will be enough supplies for 1 month. So for how long are we going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after our death? For how long are we going to live in that world? Endless. Eternal life over there. So we all are traveling and we are on our way to get there. And as soon as we get over there, we will arrive at the door over there. It is announced. There is a sign over there and we have already been told that you can't take your clothing with you. You have to send it right now. Parcel everything right now from here to there. You can't take any money on you at that time. Whatever you need, if you need any money over there, you send it now. You can't take your glasses with you. You can't take your medicine with you. You can't take anything else with you. Your bed, you have to sleep over there. But you won't be able to take the bed and mattress. You won't be able to take the pillows and sheets. You have to send everything at this time over there so that when you go over there, you can use it. At the door over there, there is a guard that won't allow you to take anything. All he will allow you to have with you, 3 clothes, that's all that we will be allowed to take with us from this life. Other than that, everything over there will be only what we send right now from here to this life. Parcel it from this life to there. That's all. We won't be able to take anything else with us. And even those 3 clothes, 3 sheets, not normal dress, 3 sheets, and 5 sheets for women. Even those sheets will be only for the time before, time being, so that people won't see our sutr and the hidden parts of the body, so that they would put us under the ground, and after we are put under the ground, even those will be taken away. They will become the food for the insects. And the ground will eat them up. The dirt will eat them up. And for our use, we will have only what we have sent from this life. One of the kings asked a scholar, he said, how come we love to stay in this life and we are afraid to go back and to die? He said, this reason is very simple. Because you built your castle over here, so this is why the person likes to stay where his home is. You built your castle over here, so you know that you have a comfortable life over here. You have everything you need over here. You didn't send nothing over there. This is why you're afraid to go over there. Then what are you going to do there? If you will start building your home over there and sending everything over there, then you won't be afraid to go over there. You will be afraid to live here because you have nothing here and you have everything there. And you will be looking forward to go there quick. So that life is eternal. And accordingly we have to send whatever we need over there. We better do it quick. Because we are all in the spring. And any time it will be announced that such and such person has to leave. In fact, you will be pulled out of this train. That your station have come. Okay, get out of it. This life is a train. And we are all just in this train. And we are traveling each and every breath, each and every second of our life. We are getting closer to final destination, and that is the death. And no one knows. Don't look at the old people and think they will go before us. Don't look at your parents and think that they will go before us. When the time comes, no one knows, and the angels of death do not ask you, they won't ask you how old are you before they will take your soul out. They will only look at the list. This person's name is there. Take it. They won't even ask. Just take it. So we better do it quick. And we better prepare for that life and send everything that we feel we need. And the currency of that life, there is a store there. We can buy items over there. The currency of that life is reward. You have the reward, you will be able to buy the home over there, you go to Jannah. You don't have the reward, that simply means your pockets are empty. You go to the shopping center, you go to the mall, and you go to one of the stores and you tell the person, I really like this. I would like to buy it. I said, okay. You go to the cashier, tell him, I don't have the money, I'm sorry. So can I take it? No, I'm sorry. Go and get the money first. At least the store owner will tell you, go back and get the money. Over there, you go to the door of the Jannah, that I would like to get in there. I will tell you, where is the money? You have to pay for it. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you send me back to the world? Oh, no, sorry. You can't go back. Go to hell. If you don't have the money, that's the only place you can go. The hellfire. So, this is exactly what it is. Our whole life, this is just a preparation for that one. And we should be sending whatever we think we need. And really, we need a lot over there. And over there, we will hope if we get a chance to just say, Subhanallah. And I get one more reward. So that reward might help me go into the Jannah and pay the price. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever will do one good deed will get rewards multiplied by 10, which means the reward of 10 doing that good deed 10 times. أَوْ أَزِيدْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or I will give you even more. 10 is minimum. I might give you more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran about the sadaqah, giving charity, that we get 70 times reward. So you spend $1, you get the reward as if you have spent $70. For each penny is 70 pennies. In fact, 700, not 70. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة. So it's 700 multiplied by 700. You go to the store and you see something over there. You like it. How much is it? $1,400. You have to pay $1,400 to get that. And you start taking your money out. You tell the store owner, here, hold the money. One, two. You give him $2, and still you're counting your money. He says, that's it. Now you can take it. And you look at him, you know. I just gave you $2. It's not two. No, I gave you just $2. And the price of it is $1,400. He says, yes. In this store, when you give a dollar, we count it 700. So you gave me $2, that's 1,400. So now you just pick up the item and go away. Take it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, you give $1 for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get 700. The reward of spending $700. You give $2, that's $1,400. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, this is something that we need to get used to it. When you have a dollar, and you feel that you want to go and buy candy with a dollar, don't always just go and spend the dollar, whole dollar for yourself. Take 50 cents, 25 cents, something out of it, give it as a donation. If you know a poor person, give it to him. Put it in the masjid. Get used to giving that type of donations. Because we all need to have our accounts over there. And this is how we will get used to building our accounts over there by spending whatever little we have. We spend a little bit out of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine that for each penny, even the penny is not wasted. But make sure you don't just pick it up from the street and then you give it in the masjid and you feel, oh, I gave a penny today. Or I gave a quarter. You give of your own. Even for one penny, how many reward you are getting? The reward of spending? $7. It's 700. 700 pennies is $7. For one penny, you're getting the reward of $7. So it's really a good deal. So, get yourself used to spending something out of what you get. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَوْ أَزِيدْ. Or I will give you even more than 700 sometimes. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا أَوْ أَكْفِرُ. Look at the great rahmah of Allah. He says, if you commit one sin, how many sins are we getting for it? It will be multiplied by what? The reward is multiplied by minimum 10. It can go to 70 even more. And the sin multiplied by what? By what? 2, 3, 4, 5, what? None. You commit one sin, you get this sin of only committing that one sin. You won't get the sin of committing two of those sins. Or you won't get the sin of committing five, you have committed five of those sins. Just the sin of one sin, that's it. Nothing more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَوْ أَغْفِرْ, and I might even forgive you for that. So look at it. That one good deed, He tells us, you get 10 rewards minimum, can go up to 70 or even more. For one sin, you get only one sin, or even that might be forgiven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most of the time He just forgives. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in another hadith, when a person thinks of committing a sin, a person thinks of committing a reward, doing some reward, doing a good deed. So by thinking and planning of doing a reward, of doing something good, he gets the reward of doing it. He was just planning to do it. You know, I'm thinking, this year during the month of Ramadan, I'll finish the whole Quran, I'll finish the Quran 10 times. So the reward is right there for you. You get the reward. If we do it, then the reward is multiplied by 10 and can go up to 70 even more. After we do it, then we get the reward and multiply it. Minimum 10. So just by planning that I'm going to do it, you get the reward of doing it. And if you don't do it, then at least you got the reward of doing it once. Without doing it, you just got the reward. Now a person plans to commit a sin. He thinks that I'm going to do this sin. So for just thinking of committing a sin, he doesn't get any sin. And if he goes ahead and commits that sin, then of course he will get the sin as if he has done only one of those sins. But the person just thought about it and he dropped the idea and he never committed the sin. Then what? He gets the reward. He gets a reward. Why? Because he thought of committing a sin and then he did not want to do the sin for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he gets a reward for not doing a sin. So look at the great rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much He's giving us. He's just giving and giving and giving. It's only if we want to take it and grab it. We are not willing to take it. He's giving it. We are not willing to take it. فَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا أَوْ أَخْفَرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, whoever will commit one sin, I will give him the sin of only that committing that one sin. And I might even forgive. وَمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ مِنِّي شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا. If a person tries to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does some good deeds, he would like to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ مِنِّي شِبْرًا.
whoever will come closer to me, even a fist. Which means he's very slow getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gets a fist closer to me. I mean, just doing some fara'id, some of the ibadahs. تَقَرَّبْتُ مِنْهُ ذِرَاعًا. I get closer to him as on the distance of an arm. I mean, this much. Which means at least 10, 15 times I'm faster than you in getting closer to you. So if a person tries to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to this person even more closer. And whoever will come walking to me, which means the person, again, he's more than the first person, but still he's slow in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not doing his best to do the good deeds. He's not rushing towards the good deeds. He just very slowly, sometimes he gets up and does some of the tasbihat, he recites a little bit of the Quran, other times he's lazy. وَمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي. A person who would come to me walking. أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَةً. I run to that person. Which is telling us that Allah loves us. And, you know, sometimes you see some children who are just learning how to walk. And the child is far away from you. And the child gets up and tries to walk towards you. And you see the child, he walks a couple of steps and he falls down. Walks a couple of steps and falls down. So what you would do? You love that child. Might be your brother, sister, your own child. Something that's close to us and we love the child. So as soon as we see the child getting up and trying to run to us, we will run to the child. And grab him, pick him up right away. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. You walk to me, you are lazy. You are not running to me, you are walking to me. And you stop on your way, but I come to you running. And He grabs us. This is how much He loves us. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, He wrote it, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَغْلِبُ غَضَبِي. That my mercy shall prevail over my wrath. That means my mercy will always be greater than my wrath. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the group of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always used every opportunity teaching us the good lessons. He never lost any opportunity of teaching us and giving us a lesson. They were in a battlefield, and all the Sahaba, after the war was over, they were sitting, and they saw a woman who's crying and running around looking for her son. She had lost her son. And you know, you can imagine that a mother who have lost her son and is in the battlefield, she thinks someone might have killed my son, something have happened, I don't know what happened to my son. She will be crying, running back and forth. And as they are looking at her, she's looking for her son, and right there they saw, that woman saw her son, and she rushed to her son, she hugged him and started kissing him. You could imagine what would be the situation of that mother, who might have almost lost the hope in finding her son, and here she sees her son, and she grabs the son and she starts kissing him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةَ طَارِحَةٌ وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ. Do you think this woman, this mother, is going to throw her son in the fire now? If there is a fire there and she's going to throw him in the fire? They said, no, ya Rasulullah, impossible. She will never do that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. Allah loves you people and loves His servants more than this mother loves her son. Allah loves us more than the mother loves her son. So it's only we are pushing ourselves into the hellfire. Even our mothers who ask her for one candy, normally she won't give you 10 every time. If she'll give you once, twice, But not every time. After a couple of times, you ask her one and she won't give you. She gave you five. You tell her, you know, last time you gave me 10. She said, keep quiet. It's better that at least I gave you 5. Next time, I won't even give you 1. Does Allah ever tell us that? No. He never closes that door for us. That's always. It's always for us. That you give 1, you do 1, you get 10 all the time. That's minimum. Even our parents don't do that for you. And if a person is being very nice to the parents, after some time the parents wants to reward him for all the good things that the son have done for them. So if the son have spent $1 million for the parents, do you think the parents are going to give him $10 million? No, this is too much. What is he going to do with $10 million? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never makes that calculation. He never closes that door. He's always giving. So this tells us that Allah loves us more than our parents do. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, so He even created the rahmah, He created the mercy. Even mercy is created by Allah. So when He created the mercy, look at the great mercy of Allah. When He created this rahmah and this mercy, He divided the whole rahmah that He created into 100 parts. He divided the whole rahmah, He created one big rahmah, then He divided it into 100 parts. And then He gave one part to all the creature. From the time of Adam alayhi salam up to the day of judgment, human beings, animals, including all the wild animals, beasts, all the insects, birds, and everything that you can think of, jinns, anything that has a life, all of these things, they got their share. Only from that one pad of it was distributed to every person in the world. That just one pad of it is distributed. So that one rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to this universe is distributed. We get just little share out of that one rahmah that was sent to this universe. And the mothers that have rahmah on their children and mercy and love for their children, even they have got just that one small portion of that one mercy that was sent to this universe. Remaining 99 portions of that rahmah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them for Himself. He has the complete 99 portions of the rahmah, and only one portion He sent in this world, and we are not even getting that one. We are getting just our share out of one that was sent to this universe. So imagine how merciful He is to us, and how much rahmah He has for us. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that sometime a person commits a sin. And that person says, Allahumma ghfirli dhambi. Ya Allah, I have committed the sin, please forgive my sin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبًا فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبِ وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ. My servant, after committing a sin, at least he realized that he has the God, he has the Lord, he has Allah who can punish him for the sin that he has committed, and He can forgive him also for the sin. So since my servant have realized this, I'm forgiving his sin. That person commits the sin again. And again he says, Ya Allah, I have committed a sin, please forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says the same thing, since you realize that I can punish you for it, and I'm the only one who can forgive you, and this is why you said, Ya Allah, forgive me, so I'm forgiving you that sin. And after he gets the forgiveness again, he goes back and commits the same sin again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as long as this person keeps on realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive the sin, and he keeps on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah will keep on forgiving the sin. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us the great rahman, giving us a great hope that inshallah we all can go to Jannah. He said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'in, أَتَرْضَوْنَ أَن تَكُونُوا رُبْعَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ? Won't you people be pleased if I tell you one thing, that you people, which mean my ummah, will be one quarter of the people of the Jannah? One fourth of the people of the Jannah will be from this ummah. SubhanAllah. One fourth from the time of Adam alayhi salam up to the Day of Judgment. You bring all the people together, and one fourth of the people of Jannah will be from this ummah. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in said, Ya Rasulullah, it's very good for us. So he said, I'll tell you something better then. He said, Ama atardawna an takunu thulutha ahli al-jannah? Won't you be pleased if I tell you that you people, my ummah, will be one third, not one fourth, one third of the people of Jannah? So increase even more people. They said, Ya Rasulullah, it will be so great. He said, then I'll tell you something better. That my ummah, I have a great hope that my ummah will be half of the people of the Jannah. Half of the people of the Jannah will be from everyone else, from all the other ummahs, and half of the people of the Jannah will be just from my ummah. In other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call the Muslims. And there will be Muslims who have committed sins. Allah will call all these people, all the Muslims. And He will tell them, you know, you were supposed to go to hellfire. You see your place in the hellfire over there? He will show them, see, there is a place, that was your place in the hellfire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give each Muslim a Jew or a Christian, non-Muslim, and will say, okay, this person will go to your place into hellfire, and you go to the place in you go to your place in the Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the kafir into the Jannah because he has to go to hellfire anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the kafir over there and will tell the Muslim, okay, because you are a Muslim, you are at least a believer, I will send you into the Jannah, and he will take your place in the hellfire. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will call a person. And after calling him very close to him so other people won't hear it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to this person, أَتَعْرِفُ ذَنْبَ كَذَا? Do you remember the sin that you committed on that day? أَتَعْرِفُ ذَنْبَ كَذَا? Do you remember that another sin that you committed? Do you remember on that day you did this? So he will have no chance to say no. So he said, Rabbi A'rif. Yes, Ya Allah, I remember. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, فَإِنِّي قَدْ سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. I have covered up your mistake in that life. I'm forgiving all of those sins today. Just go to the Jannah. And no one will even know what sins he has committed. We'll just send him straight to Jannah. In another hadith, which is not here, but a beautiful hadith, I must narrate it at this time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call a person on the Day of Judgment and will just remind him of his minor sins. He have committed a lot of minor sins. So Allah will remind him, do you remember that you did this sin on that day? Another sin, another sin. So he will see a lot of minor sins. So he will be sure that he is going to hellfire. When he looks towards his good deeds, he doesn't have enough good deeds. And at least after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him for all the minor sins, he says in his mind, he says to himself, at least, you know, the big sins, the major ones are not here. So he's very happy now. And he feels, you know, they must be hidden somewhere and I won't even mention of those. So he wants the judgment to finish quick. He knows he's going to hellfire. To his understanding, he knows he's going to hellfire. So he says, let Allah just finish this quick and just send me over there. So I get punished only for these ones, and after that, then I will go to Jannah.
So at least Allah is not talking about the major ones.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after reminding him of all these smaller sins, minor sins, will tell him, okay, this is what I would do for you. All of these small sins, I'm replacing these sins with rewards. So each sin will become a reward for you.
So now he will say to himself, oh, this is bad for me now. So he will say, Ya Allah, just a minute. I have committed some major ones too.
He will remind Allah that, Ya Allah, I have committed some major ones too. So, Ya Allah, why don't you bring those also so you can convert those also into the reward?
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will laugh at that person that you were trying to hide it before, and now you're reminding me that there are major ones also. Allah will bring those major ones also, and He will change those, replace those major sins with rewards, so we'll have a lot of rewards, and it will go into the Jannah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful.
But what we have to do is knock at the door.
Keep on knocking at that door. He will open the door for us. And the rahmah is really, His real mercy in this life is that He opens the door for ibadah for us. So that we love doing ibadah. We love instead doing the dua. You know, dua is one of the very beautiful things to do. Out of all the ibadahs, dua is a very beautiful thing to do. That you spend some time in the masjid before adhan, before the time of prayer, you go into the masjid, raise your hands. And you know what is dua? It's talking to Allah. When you say, Ya Allah, I need this. Ya Allah, I need this. Ya Allah, give me iman. Ya Allah, give me this. Make me hafiz. Ya Allah, make me serve your deen. Keep iman, my iman with me for all the time. Save me against all the hardships. Save my parents against the hellfire. Save me against the hellfire. Save my parents against all the hardships of this life. Hardships of the death. Hardships of the akhirah. Save all of us. And you keep on making dua to Allah, which means you're talking to Allah, you're praying to Allah, you're talking to me, Allah, as you talk to someone that you go to someone and tells you, okay, you need something, talk to me. And telling you, no, I need this, I need this, I need this. I need $100, okay, here, take the $100. And I need a pen, okay, here, take the pen. And I need a book, notebook, here, take the notebook. So now you feel, okay, He's giving me everything. So let me then talk to Him even more. Okay, something else, do you remember something else you need? And okay, yeah, I need this also. And He gives you that. And then He asks you, you need something else too? Ask for whatever you need. You need something else? You say, okay, I need this also. Can you give me a house also across the street? Okay, take the house too. How about a car? I don't have a car these days. Okay, take that car also. So, if a person will keep on giving you, you'll keep on talking to him, and you will keep on asking for more. This is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Talk to Him. I need this also. Okay, take this. Yeah, I need this. And He gives us. So keep on talking. Dua is one of the most beautiful way of ibadah and form of ibadah where you never get tired. You are just sitting there. All you have to do is just spend some time, go to the masjid earlier, and keep on making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never closes the door. He will keep on giving us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to salat al-mustaqim and give all of us tawfiq. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.